Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You can see the results of last year's investments in clean energy. In the North Carolina company that will create 1,200 jobs nationwide helping to make advanced batteries. Or in the California business that will put 1,000 people to work making solar panels.
All right, that part of the State of the Union started out predictably, a Democratic president hailing green jobs, but then it got a little unusual.
But to create more of these clean energy jobs, we need more production, more efficiency, more incentives. And that means building a new generation of safe, clean nuclear power plants in this country. It means making tough decisions about opening new offshore areas for oil and gas development. It means continued investment in advanced biofuels and clean coal technologies. And yes, it means passing a comprehensive energy and climate bill with incentives that will finally make clean energy the profitable kind of energy in America.
President Barack Obama for offshore drilling and nuclear energy and coal. It was such a shock to the Republicans, apparently, that Virginia Governor Bob McDonald didn't know about it when he delivered the Republican response.
Here in Virginia, we have the opportunity to become the first state on the East Coast to explore for and produce oil and natural gas offshore. But this administration's policies are delaying offshore production, hindering nuclear energy expansion, and seeking to impose job-killing cap-and-trade energy taxes.
Oops, Governor, you agree on that one. Or do they? Is there a Democratic and Republican way to do nuclear power and offshore drilling? Does it add up to something different in the context of a larger global warming policy? Let's drill deeper and see where this fits into overall climate and environmental policy. Joseph Rome from the Center for American Progress is here. So is David Kreutzer from the Heritage Foundation. Thanks to both of you for doing this. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
Howdy.
Joseph Rome, were you surprised by that part of the speech?
No, the president has been clear that he wants a comprehensive energy plan that is going to clean up our air and restore our leadership in clean energy jobs that we're losing to foreign countries, and that he wants to end or dramatically reduce our dependence on imported oil, which is costing us $1 billion a day in money that gets shipped overseas. So,
but those are goals. The means to those goals, apparently Governor McDonald didn't know that the president was going to endorse offshore drilling and a new generation of nuclear power. That didn't raise your eyebrows?
No, because President Obama said a couple months ago that he was working with Senator Lindsey Graham, the Republican conservative from South Carolina, and Joe Lieberman, the independent, and John Kerry on this bipartisan climate and clean energy jobs legislation, and that it would be comprehensive. It was going to include a strong nuclear title. It was going to include offshore drilling, but it was also going to include incentives for clean energy and holding polluters accountable. The job is to clean up the air while you reduce dependence on imported oil and preserve a livable climate. So the president has been saying this for two or three months now. I think there's a clear recognition among the reasonable members of the Senate Republicans that this is the time for comprehensive action. And I'll just quote what Lindsey Graham told reporters yesterday. The idea of not pricing carbon, in my view, means you're not serious about energy independence. The odd thing is you'll never have energy independence until you clean up the air, and you'll never clean up the air until you price carbon. So Lindsey Graham gets it. I think a majority of the American people get it. I just think that there are some ideologues on the right wing who are trying to kill any action to clean up the air and achieve energy independence.
David Kreutzer from the Heritage Foundation, were you surprised by that part of the speech? Do you know about this Obama-Lindsey Graham initiative?
No, I don't know about an Obama-Lindsey Graham initiative. I know that the Obama Interior Department has been blocking in the blocking drilling somewhat, and certainly there's been no fast track on going after the oil offshore. So I think the governor of Virginia was not far off in claiming that this administration is not pushing the offshore oil very much.
So explain that. And that speech was given live by Governor McDonnell. So either he didn't hear that part of the president's speech, or chose to ignore it, or was subtly making a case that I think you're starting to make, that there's a Democratic and a Republican way to do offshore drilling and nuclear power. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, what I'm trying to say is you can pay lip service to saying we're going to get offshore oil, but if if your administration actually stops the process for the permitting and doing the seismic sounding and so on that you need to do to proceed with offshore drilling, then the talk doesn't match the action. And I think that's the point.
Joseph Rome from Center for American Progress, you want to come back on that? Are there different standards for safe drilling, clean drilling, that you think an Obama administration might set from a Bush-Cheney administration?
Well, I think the key is to do environmentally responsible drilling. There's no question about it. But over the last few years, there's been a bipartisan consensus to open up huge amounts of the Gulf of Mexico to drilling. But, one has to remember, one can't possibly drill your way out of this. So, I mean, the U.S. has about 2% of the world's oil reserves. And if you opened up every last thing and you drilled nonstop, you would have maybe a few percent change in our oil dependence. Right now, we import about 60% of our oil. I mean, it is a staggering outflow of capital to countries, many of whom support terrorism and are unstable, and this leads the U.S. to be incredibly vulnerable. So if you want to deal with energy independence, sure, drilling is part of it. But as Lindsey Graham says, you have to have a comprehensive approach. You have to have fuel efficiency. You have to move towards alternative vehicles, particularly electric cars. And you have to have this pricing for carbon, because nobody wants to achieve energy independence in a way that causes more pollution. Americans have a consensus that we want clean air and clean water, and there's really only one way to do it.
Frank in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Frank.
Hi. I never understood why conservatives support nuclear power, given that the federal government has to subsidize it heavily, including limited liability at taxpayer expense in the form of low-cost government-sponsored insurance. In other words, the nuclear power industry has a single-payer insurance system, and the feds also subsidize uranium mining, fuel rod manufacture, waste disposal from top to bottom, the whole nuclear fuel cycle. And these green eyeshade types who like to call themselves fiscal conservatives jump all over themselves to get the government to waste money on a very expensive, a way too expensive way to make electricity.
Frank, thank you. Well, David Kreutzer from the Heritage Foundation, would nuclear power fail if left to its own devices in the free market?
I don't know. Let's find out. I agree with a lot of what Frank just said. That is not the Heritage position, by the way, to have all these subsidies. We have policy papers out there saying that we want nuclear to make it or fail on its own. Get rid of some of the regulations, not the safe ones, but some of them are clearly used just for blocking. The federal government has not been subsidizing nuclear disposal. They've been blocking any access to long-term nuclear disposal. So let's get the federal government out of the way. If nuclear can't make it without subsidies, then move on to something else. That's what we're saying.
And Joseph Rome from the Center for American Progress, what about nuclear power as the president framed it last night? He said clean and safe nuclear energy, which I think is the buzz term that everybody on all sides of this use if they're open to it at all. Are there different Democratic and Republican approaches to clean and safe nuclear energy?
Well, I think there are, in the sense that in general, What you see is Republicans supporting massive subsidies for the nuclear industry, like the caller said. The taxpayers are on the hook for the liability if there's a major nuclear accident. We're actually on hook for any new nuclear plant for about 80% of the. We have these loan guarantees, so if they go belly up, the taxpayers are going to swallow the cost. I think. The ideal approach is the one that Lindsey Graham is working on with the president and Joe Lieberman and John Kerry to get a majority of senators, to get 60 senators for, which is you set a price on carbon pollution, and then you let the marketplace determine what's the most cost-effective way to reduce pollution. I'm sure some nuclear power plants will be built, but I expect that there'll be a lot more energy efficiency in solar and wind, and natural gas will be the strategy.
David Kreutzer, what do you think about the Lindsey Graham statement that you have to price carbon somehow? Otherwise, not only won't you stop global warming, you won't achieve energy independence for America.
I think that part with energy independence is a non sequitur. I mean, we've just discovered huge reserves of natural gas that could go a long way towards helping with our energy situation. Pricing CO2 doesn't make that any easier to get to. The odd thing, I want to go back to the nuclear question. We have the people saying on the left that nuclear cannot work. But if you look at all the studies that they promote as looking at the costs of a carbon legislation like Boxer-Kerry or Lieberman-Warner or Waxman-Markey, every single one of the cost numbers that they quote includes nearly doubling nuclear electricity production. So on one hand, they say nuclear won't work, but then when they try to say how cheap it will be to have one of these climate bills, they depend on doubling nuclear energy. So there's a disconnect there.
Joe Rome, do you think that the record of no nuclear plants since the Three Mile Island accident in 1979 has been an overreaction for 30 years, especially in light of the carbon issue that's now front and center?
Well, the fundamental reason why there hasn't been a nuclear power plant has really the safety issues and the waste issues. They're important, but they're not why the plants haven't been built. The plants haven't been built because the board of directors of a major utility is unwilling to take the staggering financial risk. These plants have become phenomenally expensive. I mean, one nuclear power plant is now costing like $8 billion. The French reactor company, Areva, said they would build a plant for $8 billion. The Canadian reactor people said they would build one for $10 billion. So the fact is, these plants have become incredibly expensive, and that's why it's the board of directors of major utilities that are unwilling to gamble their entire company on a plant that costs as much as, in some cases, their entire market capitalization. So what I've always said is the nuclear industry has to get its act together and come up with really one or two modular designs, not the five or six designs that you see today that really slow the whole process down and just complicate things. I think the nuclear energy industry could revitalize itself, but at the end of the day, it isn't about a particular technology. The goal is dramatically reduce pollution, preserve a livable climate, create clean air and clean water, and increase energy independence.
We're almost out of time, but is the big picture here, Joseph Rome, from where you sit, that, yeah, now maybe the Democrats and Republicans will come to common ground on offshore drilling and restarting nuclear energy production in the United States, but those things alone do not solve the climate change problem, so you also need some kind of cap and trade or carbon tax?
You need a price on carbon, and that is something Lindsey Graham understands and Joe Lieberman and the president understand. Exactly how it's done, again, I don't think you want to prejudge, but it's quite clear. Right now, carbon dioxide doesn't have a price, so standard economics, the use of it the production of it is just going to keep going up and up.
And David Kreutzer, basically the same question.
Yeah.
Even if, and I understand your points about how the Democrats may say they're for offshore drilling, but then they demand certain regulations that make it prohibitive. Let's assume they can come to common ground on offshore drilling and on nuclear energy. If you then still oppose pricing carbon, do you have to say that you don't believe that global warming is real?
You don't have to say you don't believe it's real. You can say that you don't think it's leading us to any sort of catastrophe. But I think it's pretty clear, at least for this year, that there's not going to be a cap-and-trade bill. I mean, we just get feedback all the time that people are backpedaling as fast as they can. And I don't think a straightforward carbon tax was going to be any more popular in a recession than a hidden tax.
But from your point of view,
yeah.
And I don't know whether you think global warming is a hoax or what you think, but don't price carbon somehow, do we then just take our chances that global warming isn't real?
Yeah, the science probably needs more than 20 seconds. But I think what I would say is that the evidence doesn't point to a looming catastrophe that leads us to a blank check solution to cutting carbon.
And the discussion goes on. But it was noteworthy that President Obama called for offshore drilling and nuclear energy in the State of the Union address. A surprise enough to the Republicans that the Republican response said he wasn't calling for that because they apparently didn't know. All right, Joseph Rome from the Center for American Progress and David Kreutzer from the Heritage Foundation. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
And coming up in just a minute, when is the mental health diagnosis of schizophrenia political? Stay with us, and then we'll look at the iPad coming up later, too.